Welcome to the St. George's Leeds Sermon Podcast. We hope you enjoy the talk.
The passage this evening is taken from Matthew chapter 18, starting at verse 21. And the passage is titled, The Parable of the Unmerciful Servant. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle his accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had to be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him. Be patient with me, and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown in prison until he could pay his debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I cancelled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In his anger, the master hurled him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
How are we doing? Are we good? That went really quiet, really quickly. Pressure's on. Yes, we talk about the creeds tonight. It's not the first time. It's, I think, the third Sunday we're doing this. First Sunday was about that we believe in God Almighty, Father, Creator of heaven and earth. And last week, we looked at what it means that we say we believe in Jesus, His only Son, our Lord. And today, we are in the third paragraph that we've just read. And it's about that we believe in the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at one line in particular, which is the forgiveness of sins. Now, you've probably come from a really lovely sunny day in the park, come into church and you think, oh goodness, we're talking about sin. Don't worry, it's not a turn or burn kind of message. But I think when we talk about the forgiveness of sins, it's important for us to understand what is sin so we understand what are we forgiven from. Because sometimes you think about the term forgiveness and it's one of the massive Christian words. It's like love, peace, joy, hope, you know, huge topic. But what does that actually mean for me, for us as a church, for our life here in Leeds? And therefore, we want to unpack a little bit what the Bible says about forgiveness, because there's two aspects of forgiveness. There's one aspect of forgiveness from God to us, and there's the aspect of forgiveness from us to others. And when we think about the story that we just heard about the servant, it's actually called the unforgiving servant. And we see two parts to the story. The first part is all about the servant and his great debt. And the second part is about once he was forgiven, what he chose to do and the consequences of that. And when we read the story, it's not just a little bit of debt. The debt is actually humongous. So the Bible says here it's 10,000 bags of gold or 10,000 talents. We're not talking about Britain's Got Talent or a talent show, but a talent was a measurement in the ancient world, and one talent would be the equivalent of 20 years of work, a salary for 20 years of work. So if you think about one talent as a debt, that's a big amount of money. I don't know what you earn in a year. Yeah, some of you are students, so it might be a bit less. But if you think everything you earn in 20 years as a debt, that is big. You basically work for 20 years to pay your debt off. But this guy, he had 10,000 talents as a debt. So that's the equivalent of 200,000 years of work. And so when you think about that, it makes sense that it's basically something he'll never be able to pay back in a normal way. If you bring it into our context again, the average UK salary is £37,000 at the minute per year. So there would be £7.44 billion in debt. Now, what we don't know from the story, we don't know how he accumulated the debt. We don't know if he was the investor of a cruise ship fleet, or if he bought 450 Formula One cars, or maybe he invested into Manchester United of the days, which, let's be honest, they would have been really bad already back then. But we don't know what he did to get that much into debt. But the fact is, the debt impacted every single area of his life. It affected his relationships, his children, his possession. Everything he had was on the line. And see, there's a reason why Jesus tells this story, because it's actually quite interesting. You have a conversation between Peter and Jesus and then the other disciples, and Peter says, "Hey, Master, how often do we have to forgive? Is it 7 times? You know, 8 times? Jesus says 70 times 7, and he explains it with this story, because every single one of us is that servant that we just heard about. We all have a debt with God. The Bible calls that debt sin. Now, what is sin? I'm glad you asked. Sin is everything where we deviate from the perfect will and the standards of God that he has revealed in the Bible. It's small stuff or bigger stuff, but in summary, it's whenever we choose to walk away from the things that God has said in his word that are right and that are just and that are good for us. And the problem with sin is, sin isn't just the bad things you do, it is that as well. So it is the lies and the cheating and, you know, talking behind someone's back and being aggressive in the traffic or shouting at your kids or all the things that we think sin are. But the problem with sin is that sin has a consequence. And the consequence of sin is separation from God. Because God is holy, he's just, and whatever isn't holy or just can't stand in his presence. It's a bit like, have you ever taken an ice cream ball and put it in a hot frying pan? Do you know what happens? It just disappears. And when you think about that concept, you've got a holy God on the one side and us as sinners on the other. If we would come in direct contact with, like, sin can't stand in the presence of God. And so when you look at God, God is life and God is love and God is goodness and God is light and God is joy. If you think about the separation, if you're on the other side of that, it's basically the opposite of what you see in God. So when you have God as light, the opposite is darkness. If you have God as love, the opposite is hatred. If you have God as peace, the opposite is conflict, war, turmoil, chaos. And if we look around in the world, we'll see a lot of these things on a daily basis. And it's because the Bible says that the whole world is in a fallen state because Adam and Eve in the beginning, humanity turned away from God. And ever since that point, sin has entered the world. And the consequence of sin is the separation from God and ultimately death. This is, by the way, no chemistry lesson. We're not going to blow anything up, so you can relax and just watch it, what we're doing here. If you think about your life as this here, or as the state that God intended, oh, there we go, that God intended, it was pure, it was clear. And then this is what happened when sin came into the world. It didn't just make you a bit bad, but it changed everything. And the problem with this is, I can start tipping out some of this stuff. I can add some more, but it stays like that. The consequence is separation. But there's good news. God intended us not to be separate from him because he loves us. And if we read this passage here, it says here that the servant's master took pity on him and canceled all the debt and let him go. And I read this and it's just like this tiny sentence. Just cancel the debt, let him go. I'm like, 7.44 billion? Like, have you ever heard of anyone that would just cancel a debt like that? Why would anyone do that? And I think the only motivation for somebody to do such a thing is love. There's no other reason why you would cancel a debt like that. And so what happens then is God knows, right, humanity can't save themselves. We need a solution. So what does God do? He sends his only son to die on a cross. Why does he do that? Because the Bible says that Jesus was God in flesh. And when Jesus comes to earth, he lives a life like we do, with the one difference to all of us, which is he never sins. And therefore, he is the perfect sacrifice. All the sin of the world gets put onto him. He dies on a cross. He dies that very death that we all deserve. But he doesn't stay dead, because there's Easter. He raises from the dead. He's raised again. Death is defeated. And this is what happens when we accept Jesus into our lives. So if you think about Jesus, Jesus is obviously more than a joke. This is just an illustration. But this is exactly what happens if you say, Jesus, I need your forgiveness in my life. It's going to flush out all that stuff that separates you from God. And all of a sudden, we are restored back to how it is meant to be. And therefore, the forgiveness of sin is so vital for your life, because it's not just something that makes you a little bit better. This isn't a self-help session here. This isn't a, hey, let's get three steps how we make your life a little bit better, or how you can be a better driver, or how you can be a better parent. I do believe when we live with Jesus, some of these things will happen and improve, but it's not just about you becoming better. Because if you could balance out a little bit of the bad stuff with good stuff, you could wake your own way into heaven, but it doesn't work like that. The ultimate truth of forgiveness of sins is that you become a different person, which is basically you become alive again. And that is humongous. Because everything else, if we look at other religions and other concepts of religion, there's always some sort of approach to work yourself into salvation. But the problem is we can't save ourselves. If we could do save ourselves somehow, the sacrifice of Jesus wouldn't be needed. But because we can't save ourselves, all it needs for you to be forgiven of your sins is to say, Jesus, I accept that for my life. I allow it to enter my life. And there you go, you're forgiven of all your sins. That's how easy it is. But there's also a second thing, which is forgiveness from us to others. And it's really interesting, because when we think about the story again with the servant is basically forgiven this humongous amount of money, cleared. And then he meets one of his friends, and they basically owe him 100 denarii, which in the translation it says, that's about the wage of a day. So if you think about 200,000 years of work compared to a day's work, it's basically like, I don't know, if you crash your dad's car and then someone owes you a tenner and you're like, you know what, keep the tenner, I'm absolutely good. But what he does is he doesn't forgive. And therefore, ultimately, long story short, he ends up back in prison. And I think that's a very fitting image of what unforgiveness can do in our own lives, because it can put ourselves into some sort of a prison. Corrie ten Boom, who is a concentration camp survivor from World War II, she wrote the following about forgiveness. Forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hatred. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you. And I think if we think about this, it does make sense, because forgiving others, it isn't easy. Actually, quite opposite, it's really difficult, because it goes so against our nature as humans. We don't want to forgive. We want to hold on to that hurt and that pain, because that person needs to pay. They've hurt me, so they need to pay. The problem with that is, you and I, we weren't created to carry pain. And if you hold on to pain and hurt, what happens is, slowly over time, that hurt is like a poison that seeps through your soul and through your heart and develops bitterness in your life. And so when we talk about the forgiveness of sins, the amazing thing about that is we can ask Jesus to help us to forgive others, because I know forgiving others, it is really difficult. It's not what we want to do, especially, and I think that's why I don't just want to brush over it, especially when you've experienced real pain in your life, when you've had really horrible things happen to you. What forgiveness also isn't, it's not a justification for what happened to you. It's not us saying, oh, do you know what? It's all right, you know, it wasn't that bad. You know, just look over it. It's not forgetting. It's like when you cut yourself and you have a wound and you deal with the wound, what might happen is that you develop a scar, and the scar might be visible for the rest of your life. But it's important that you focus on the wound, because if you don't focus on the wound and heal it properly, what can happen is it infects and gets actually worse than it was in the first place. And so when we talk about forgiving others, we don't mean that it is forgetting. It's also not healing or reconciliation with that person, because in some cases, that is literally impossible. Yeah, we're not talking about, oh, you know, you forgive someone and then you meet up for a coffee again and like, hey, how are you doing? All right, yeah, oh, cool, yeah, let's have our relationship how it used to be. No, because some hurt is so severe, and there is a consequence of that, and that means you might not be able to sit in a room with a person for the rest of your life. But, and I think that's why it's so important for you personally, when you hold on to that pain, what you do is you hold yourself always to that hurt that is in the past. And you are ultimately the person that is suffering the most. Have you ever experienced that when someone hurts you and you feel like really angry? And like, oh gosh, I can't believe they said that about me. Ugh. And they don't even notice. And you're like, you're lying up, you're awake in the middle of the night. You're thinking, oh, I'm gonna, you know, tomorrow when I'm in school, pray for them. Yeah. And they don't even notice they've hurt you. And how many times is it that other people hurt you? Some people might have hurt you years ago. And they might know or might not know that they've actually hurt you. But you holding on to that pain locks you like in a prison cell and keeps you bound to that experience that you had in the past. And so therefore, the amazing news of forgiveness of sins is, it doesn't just make you alive, but when you choose to extend that forgiveness that you've received from Jesus in the first place and let it overflow in your own life, what happens is that you start to become free from that pain and that hurt. And it's again, if you think of this little glass as your life, if you live in a relationship with Jesus, the Bible actually says that we should fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit daily, on a regular basis. The reason for that is, if we are in this flow with the Holy Spirit, even if people start to hurt us or say stuff about us, or even like really, really, really upset us, because we stay in that flow, the ultimate goal at the end is that we can live a free life. And that is something that I've experienced in my own life. That's why I'm preaching this message. Because I believe when we preach, it is important that we talk about things that actually have something to do with our lives. And when we talk about the forgiveness of sins, the reason why I'm so passionate about it is because I know I was once dead, but because of Jesus, I am alive. And I know I was once bound in this prison of hatred because of the things that happened to me, because of stuff that people said about me and my family, because of circumstances that we had to go through, which, by the way, I do think we all have to go through just because we live in a broken world. But just because of that doesn't mean that I want to stay for the rest of my life in that prison. And therefore, to conclude, we believe in the forgiveness of sins. It's a choice. It's a daily decision for you. It's not easy, but you can ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And through the grace of God, we can accept the forgiveness of God in our lives and allow it to fill us so we can be really alive. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, I don't think it's an accident, by the way, that we just read, we believe in the Holy Spirit and then the forgiveness of sins falls under that. Because I believe it needs the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to help us to overcome these battles. But when we allow that to happen, it will release the pain, it stops hurt, and it especially it stops hurt and pain from growing roots in your heart. And then we'll be able to freely extend that grace and that forgiveness to other people so we can be free. So ultimately, forgiveness of sins, it makes us truly alive. And it makes us truly free.
Thank you for listening to the St. George's Leeds Sermon Podcast. For more talks or information, visit stgs.org.uk.